Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
To learn to pray.
He's the helper. Mm-hmm. So just say, help. You don't know how to pray. That's an awesome prayer. I pray that. I still pray that prayer.
Yeah.
And we will. We need to be dependent, completely dependent on God. Let God be God. And stay out of his way.
If you could just walk us through a prayer, maybe pray with us for a minute, and you can just kind of describe a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay.
And that would help people who have never tried it, mm-hmm. try it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we enter in by thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. And we need to humble ourselves under his mighty name. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you. That, Lord, as we humble our hearts before you, we're going to allow you to take complete control of over our lives. And, Lord God, and allow you, Lord, by your Spirit to lead us. So, Holy Spirit, rise up in all of us, Lord. And Lord, in myself and, Lord God, in our church, Lord. And, Lord, help us to know, Lord, your heart from your heart perspective, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Lord, your word has taught us that you are faithful. From Genesis to Revelations, help us to daily walk with you and being faithful to you in all we say and all we do. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My prayer is, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. But I had to learn what his will was, see? And so that's how I learned. That his will was his word and his word was his will. And that was his voice. And he's been navigating, you know, my life ever since. Here we are.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Amen, amen. You know, I wanted to let everybody know Lupe is over our prayer ministry. And I don't know somebody beside my mom who prays like Lupe. And so if you want to come and you want to be a part of prayer, it's on Wednesdays. Is Barbara here? Barbara Hughes? Barbara, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock in the chapel. In the chapel, okay? So if you girls just want to come and pray and want to connect in the house of God and pray for things, the impossible, and just take some time out with other women, 9 o'clock on Wednesdays in the chapel, that would be a really great place for you to connect, okay? Awesome. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Okay, so this is how this is going to work today. We have been going through a faith series, and this faith series, there are seats up here, girls, seats up here in the front. And the faith series, there's been so many incredible messages, and so we wanted to bring the women up on the panel and just kind of highlight some of the things that had been coming across our Instagram and questions that people have brought to us during this time. And so we thought, well, if they're asking, you guys would probably really be edified by it as well. So it's taking it to a deeper level. And then we're going to have you guys talk about those things, okay? So this is going to be an interactive time for you to snack and chat with each other, and we're going to talk, and then you're going to go to your tables, and you're going to snack and chat. Okay? Cool? All right. So, okay, we're going to get started with the panel questions, and then you guys will go to your table questions, all right? So, let me open my phone so I can get my first panel question. And it says, from the panel speakers, what is a crazy faith miracle story that you can share with us? So something just outrageous that you had to believe God for, and it had to be a miracle to happen in your lives. Who wants to start? Since Pastor Michelle made this one up, I'm going to have you start.
Okay, so I think I've shared this before. We just want, you know, we preached on faith for almost 2 months now. And so I want to hear the stories, right? I want to hear about the faith and hear what God has done. But I just know one story that stood out. And usually I think with these faith stories, you're like, I don't know how this happened or why it happened. It just happened and God used me. Was at summer camp this last year. I got to preach to the youth. And so we had a girl after the sermon, we did some ministry time, and for whatever reason, she couldn't see. And I think I've shared this with you girls during tithes or something at some point. But anyway, she started kind of, you know, freaking out. Like, she's like, I can't see. So we started to pray for her. And me being youth pastor, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to call her mom. What is happening? Like, this is like a spiritual attack, you know? And so, you know, she honestly could not see. We walked her over to a different area, just began to pray for her. And the Holy Spirit just came upon me. And it was a gift of faith and just to say, okay, are you born again? Are you saved? Let's take authority in the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus. And it was like one of these moments, like, Beth, you're her. Okay. And you're like, I'm going to lay hands on you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray to God. He is the healer. He's the only one who can do this. When I remove my hands, you will see. And I remove my hands and she could see. And it was a miracle. She wasn't faking it. It wasn't anything you could tell. So that's my faith story just this last summer. So it was amazing.
Cool. Beth, what about you?
So I do missions here at the Rock. So we're going to Nicaragua and Mexico. Whoop, whoop. We're really excited. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But maybe this will encourage someone in the room who's believing for healing as well. Maybe, someone in your family or maybe you personally, but I think we were in Costa Rica or somewhere in South America. And, we went to a hospital and we were praying for people in the hospitals. I don't know if you've ever just gone to a hospital that's not like American, and these people have been there for weeks, years, months, and they're very discouraged. And so you hear you come in knowing Jesus, the healer, but there's still this, there's a lot of weight in the room. And I remember there was this little boy, and he was in there, and he didn't have a skull. And you could feel in the baby's head there was no skull. You could see it. There was no skull. And so our group, we got together, and we prayed, and we believed, and we, you know, it's really not us that's healing him. We know it's Jesus, the Savior, the healer that does it. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. I still just can hardly wrap my mind around it. But when we left, that baby had a skull. It had grown on that baby's head. And so I hope that encourages you that God is never going to make sense. He's never going to fit into our why or how or when. But he is our Savior, and he does have promises, and he is the healer. So I hope that encouraged somebody. It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I've told it to some young adults before, some friends, and they've tried to tell me how it couldn't be true. But you know when something happens to you, no one can take that, you know? And that has just been an amazing, amazing thing that God has done. So,
so good. Okay, go ahead, Pastor Sue.
I have just a financial miracle. I mean, I believe God's done many miracles in my life, but the one that really stuck out in my mind when I was praying about it was just in the early 90s, my husband and my family were back in the Midwest, and he'd gone to Bible college and newly graduated, and I was working for a ministry that was going to be working with Gloria Copeland and a lady named Billy Brim to have a conference in Belarus. You know, the USSR, the states had broken up, and now the state of Belarus, the conference was going to be there. Anyway, I was volunteering with that ministry, helping them, and they knew that we did things with children, so they asked us to do a children's conference alongside them. Well, immediately, we had this witness inside, we knew it was God, but then I came home and talked to my husband about it, and he said, oh, there's just no way. Oh, and the little detail was that we were going to have to pay our own way, and it was going to cost $3,800. This is the early 90s, and when you just graduated from Bible college and you don't have any money, they could have said $3 million. But anyway, it was supposed to cost $3,800, and we just had no money. I mean, every month we were believing God, and many times it was, you know, which bill do we pay first and all that. And so I talked to my husband. He said, you know, there's just no way. We just can't afford it. So I called the gentleman that was over the trip, and he had a strong Russian accent, and he was from that area. And I said, well, you know, we want to go. You know, we'd love to minister to children, but we just do not have the finances. I don't believe we're going to be able to. And he said, is it God for you to go? And I said, yeah, I believe so. And he says, then you should go. So I was like, okay. So I hung up the phone, and I said to my husband, we're supposed to go. And so we just believed God. And within 3 months, $4,200 came in very supernaturally. And we went, and it was amazing. We took puppets. We had puppets patterns made in Russian. And we did some amazing conferences with children's workers there. And also were able to go into the main hospital that had the Chernobyl victims from the fallout that had gone on in 1989, I think it was. And so we got to pray over them and minister to many children there. And it was just a very supernatural trip. But you know, God just, it just so stuck out that when you know the will of God, you trust God, you put it before Him, and He moves and brings in what you need. Amen.
So good. So if you're believing for your mission trip this year, God will provide. Just get in faith for it, and He'll make a way in a way that you wouldn't think so. Dr. V, Reverend V, everybody has so many initials in front of your name.
You know, I was thinking, you said that miraculous faith used. And, you know, I think I use faith every day, you know, and God has come through. He's always been faithful in everything that I've prayed for. He's always come through, and I'm still standing on a lot of things in faith. But I think the biggest thing that happened in my life is the testimony that I've shared many times with you, and that was the birth of Jared, who sings on the praise team. And that one is significant because it changed both Larry and our walk with God, and it drew us so much closer into the life that we didn't even know that we'd be living right now. But we totally were not into the gifts or anything, and we believed in healing, but it was for some people, not for everybody, and perhaps He would heal. This kind of mentality is what we had like 30 years ago. But He spoke to my husband during praise and worship, and He said that the baby was going to be okay, you know, and we just would stand and clap during praise and worship. But Larry began to do a little dance, and he kept dancing and dancing, and I was just appalled, like, wow, how embarrassing. And you know, and I didn't know what was going on, and this was very foreign to us. We didn't really understand. And then he falls out on the ground, and I'm like, oh my God, you know. And the pastor's like, you know, God is doing something, and we need to wait and see. And when Larry got up, he said the baby was fine. And I was 8 months pregnant, and I had had I was 6 months pregnant. I had no complications, anything. I said, yeah, cool, the baby is fine, okay. I don't know what all that's about. But that night, I went into labor, and they said that, you know, I was like, I was dilating, and my cervix was effaced, and I was having regular contractions, and they had all these people saying, you know, if the baby was born, that he was going to have brain problems and bleeding in the brain, and he may not survive. They weren't even going to try to resuscitate him if he didn't weigh at least 500 grams, and they had the helicopter ready and all this kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, faith kicked in, and I remember what God told my husband. I'm like, oh, this is what all that's about, and the baby is fine. And so as they were trying to put me on different medications to stop the labor, I just began to get more and more faith, and I had just a few verses that I stood on. And when you use faith, you always have to have a verse that you're standing on. And I said, well, Lord, I just know that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And I just know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I see healing, and I believe it's for me, and I believe you spoke to my husband. And I stood on that, and they brought all kinds of psychiatrists and everything. But long story short... They were like, she's in denial. She's not really doing well. But I did, you know, I was in intensive care. I was in the hospital maybe a couple weeks, and I didn't have the baby. They wanted me to stop my residency and all this kind of stuff. But he was born 12 hours after his due date, 8 pounds, 15 ounces. And today he is a father of two, and he has no brain damage, much whether you guys think so or not. He's okay.
That's awesome, and he is a man of God, and he serves in this house and leads us in worship. So if you want to know who he led us in worship last Sunday. He was the guy on the piano, so Jared Reynolds. All right, so I was thinking about this one. I have a lot of miracle stories, and it was almost like, where do I pick one? And I feel like God wanted me to say this one for those of you that maybe need to step out in faith. So Dan and I found ourselves coming back from Rhema Bible Training Center, and we lived with my parents for... I don't know, maybe a few weeks, a few months. And I remember the Lord saying, you need to get a house. And I was okay with that, but Dan was not so sure about taking that next step right away. And so we found a house. As soon as we walk into this house, I remember it had old Christopher Columbus wallpaper. Like, that's how old this house was. I remember, like, just peeling it and all the wallpaper came off, you know. It needed a lot of work. And it stunk old, but I fell in love with the house because I was like, oh, this is going to be ours. I can believe you for this, God. And so it took a lot of faith for us to step out in faith and believe God to meet our need, because at the time, we didn't know what our job was going to be. We didn't know where we what we were doing. We didn't know exactly where we fit in, but we're stepping out in faith because God asked us to. So we get into the house a few years later. It goes by, and old house, lots of problems, lots of money went out, and we had to fix it over and over and over again. And I heard in prayer in the middle of church, "You need to ask me for a bigger house." And I'm like, "Why? I'm good. Like, I don't need to ask you for that. Like, does anybody else argue with God when he tells you to do something?" So you shouldn't, but I did. And little did I know I was going to get pregnant again, and there was just no more room. And so I told Dan, I said, "I feel like after the first of the year, God wants us to begin to look for something bigger." And he's like, "Why? We don't need that." And I'm like, "I know. We'll see." He comes from that kind of a background, like, "We're good. We have what we need." I was good. We had what we need. That's how we've lived our whole lives together, because at Rhema, we had nothing. And so we were good. And I felt like the Lord was like, "This is not about the house. This is not about it being big. It's not about any of that. It's about you getting in faith, because you are comfortable right now, and you're not stretching your faith in any area of life." And I was like, "Whoa." And so I said, "Well, no, you wanted me to be comfortable. I was happy here. You told me to enjoy this moment." I remember telling God that. "You told me. And now I'm happy and I'm enjoying every moment of this house and our little lives and whatever you've got, I'm ready." And the Lord was like, "Yeah, that's not what I have for you." And so I said, "Okay, fine." So we started looking. And as we looked, the price just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I remember just like, you know, like that, like, gasp moment. And then you kind of go, "I've got to sell the other house in order to get this one." And then I heard the Spirit of God speak to me, "No, you're not. You're not going to sell that house. That's going to be an income property for you for your future. And you're going to buy this one too." And I'm like, how do I tell Dan? So, and I remember going, "Okay, so listen, I really feel like God is pushing us. He's stretching us. Like, we don't have the money, but he's going to make a way for us." And he was like, "Okay, fine. If we're in faith, I can believe for anything." And I was like, "Okay." So we started looking, and we found this house, and we just fell in love with it. And we ended up putting in a low ball offer at that time. Now it's really a high ball offer. I'm still under. But it was a low ball offer at that time with nothing down. All this, I mean, just crazy. We were like telling our realtor, "Just put it all out there. And if they say no, who cares? Because we're in faith, and who cares?" You know, and I really didn't care either way, because I knew God was going to come through, and I had to at least knock on that door and be in faith for it. And I remember getting the phone call from the realtor, and she goes, "They actually lowered the price. They're paying every closing cost. You don't need to pay this. You don't need to pay that. You don't need to pay this." And I was like, and I looked at Dan, he goes, what? I'm all, "We get to keep both houses." And I just remember being blown away, because it wasn't about, for me, something bigger or better. It was about me getting a faith for something that God needed. That house ended up being a blessing to our family. It ended up being a blessing in a season that he sent me home, and I had no job, and every bill was paid. I watched God come through time after time again. I learned how to use my faith, and then God threw me into another house just recently. And I asked the Lord, I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building your faith, because you can't have faith for little things unless I launch you into big things." Little did I know that Dan and I were going to be asked to lead this massive church on different levels. And so now my faith can go to new levels. And so I want to challenge you in that. What is your faith not being used for right now? What are you just kind of complacent in? And maybe God wants to stir you into moving yourself into a realm of faith. Maybe he's asked you to start a business. Maybe he's asked you to step out of faith and go on a mission trip, but you're telling you all the whys you can't. And I just want to say, get out of your comfort zone, because when you do, it allows God to show up, and he shows off. And it's just really awesome. And so I believe God wants to be a blessing in our lives. So anyways, he didn't fix a skull or anything for me, but he stretched me. Okay. All right. So Pastor Sue, how can you constantly, was I supposed to send them to the tables? Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I'm learning this. Okay, is there one person who can tell their crazy faith testimony? So what we're going to do is we're going to send you guys to your tables right now. You're going to have a little table talk about these things. And one person around the table, pick something that you, not all of you are going to be able to share, okay, because we got to get through this day. But one of you share an awesome testimony of faith where God came through. So go ahead, turn around, get in your table, say hi to each other, introduce yourselves, and one person say something. Okay? Okay, lovely ladies, we're going to move on to the next one. Hi. Okay. Pastor Sue, I'm coming to you. Okay. How do you constantly walk in the authority of faith? How do you constantly walk in this?
Well, I think that the place to start to really be in a stance of knowing your authority in a consistent way is really, number one, you have to know who you are in Christ. That's just absolutely where you have to start. You have to know who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then verse 21 says, "For he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are new. And you're in him. He's made you righteous by the very blood of Jesus. So you're not your old person. You're not left just to your own ways of figuring things out. You are in a different place. You're in Christ and he's in you. And then over in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, actually starting in the first chapter with verse 20, actually I could back way up, but I'll start with verse 20. It says, "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." So Jesus has been seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. "He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." So Jesus is over any principality, any power of darkness. The devil himself was one angel that was kicked out of heaven. You know, he's a created being. He is not the creator. So everything that you could even conceive of, any power, any strength, any horrible person, anything, the power that they would operate from is under it. Jesus has been put over them. And look at verse 22. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Well, he's the head. We're the body. Where are the feet attached? To the body. So all principality, all power, all authority, anything demonic, no matter how big you could conceive, is under your feet because you're in him and he's in you. And when you meditate on verses like that and you get them down in your heart, that there is no power, there is nothing that is greater than the name of Jesus. And he says in Philippians 2:9 that he is the name that is above every name. So every name of cancer, every condition, every sickness, any word that you could think of that makes you freak out or seems big and horrible, Jesus is above that name. And he has given us his precious name. And he says, "In my name, you're going to cast out devils. In my name, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." In his name, we have authority, not in and of ourselves. You can feel very weak and afraid in and of yourself. But when you step back and say, "Okay, Jesus, I'm in you. You're in me. You've given me your precious name. And you are the one that has defeated all principality, all power. So I come in your authority and with your name. And this has to flee, or this has to go, or whatever it is that is tempting you or seem to be harassing someone in your life or in your home, you have authority over that in the name of Jesus. And then we know over in Matthew 18, Pastor Jim ministered Wednesday night, get a hold of that message. Sunday night, get a hold of that message if you did not hear it, about binding and loosing. But he says in Matthew 18:18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, or in the heavenlies, the demonic atmosphere that can be out there. Verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And that is what is so powerful about these Thursday mornings. You're not, maybe you live alone. Maybe you are tempted at times to feel like your authority or taking the name of Jesus doesn't seem to be working. But you have a beautiful sister in the Lord that you can come and you can get agreement. And he's there in the midst. And when you come in agreement in the name of Jesus, that thing is bound or loosed. And you have authority by the very blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. That's so good. Just a constant reminder of who you are. But listen, this is what we're going to do around the tables right now. Maybe the leader, go ahead and just take some things that you as a group need to take authority over in your life. Maybe there's some sickness that you need to take authority over. And I want you guys to write those down and then bring them to the throne room right now. You're going to pray about them and you're going to take authority over those things and you're going to bind them and you're going to loose them, okay? So if you don't know how to do that, we'll teach you. For instance, I'm going to give you an example, okay? So when Pastor Jim was talking this week, I want you guys to go back, okay, onto the archives. It's free. Go listen to it while you're in your car. It was Sunday night. It's the it is his 13th part of Profound Words from Jesus. He's been doing it on Wednesday nights, but he moved it over into a Sunday night as well. And he was talking about binding and loosing, and that takes authority. You have to know that you are the righteousness of Christ. I am a daughter of the Most High God, and this thing is not allowed to stay or remain. Now, whether this is healing, I bind this spirit of cancer in the name of Jesus, and I loose a spirit of healing upon me and my family. I bind the spirit of division in our home that has been breaking our family apart, and I loose unity and the peace and the love of God to reign on our home in the name of Jesus. And devil, you have no foul thing. You take authority over what it is that the enemy has been stealing from you physically, you, your family, whatever it is. Do not be embarrassed about it, because you together, there's two or more of you right now. So this is scripture. So now we're going to carry it out. So you go to your groups right now and pray over those things and bind them and take authority over them. Okay? Okay, you guys ready? Can we move to the next one? Are you enjoying each other right now? Did you see some things break in the spirit right now? Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we're going to get into another question, and I'm going to have everybody on the panel answer it, okay? So are you all listening? Because look at them, they're talking. Do you see this panel? They're enjoying each other. Okay, so we're all going to answer this one, okay? So you guys chime in as soon as you hear. Okay, when I put my faith out there and I don't see the result, and I'm praying the will of God, does something stop my prayers? Okay, so anybody want to address this first? Dr. B, we haven't heard from you.
Well, I think if you read the message on Faith Busters, there's a lot of things that stop your faith, you know. And two just off the bat that I just want to share this morning is, one is the unforgiveness, you know, and you just have to, even if you don't have good feelings about somebody or whatever you think you might be, this might be an area you need to just in prayer say, Lord, just reveal to me if I have any ought against anybody. And, you know, a lot of times it's very, very difficult because maybe there's some real pain and there's some real hurt and there's some real things that were done. And it doesn't say that these things didn't happen to you. It doesn't say that it didn't hurt. But what it says is that I honor God above my flesh, as we do in everything, right? And then I want to please God. And he tells me that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and I can have the faith to believe to forgive this person. And the best way to start is praying for that person. And the second thing is what we say. And you know, you reap what you sow. So if you're praying and believing for something and your words are always just digging back up that seed and digging back up that seed, you're never going to get what you are praying for, right? You have to, we walk by faith and not by sight. So you have to speak, even though it's not made a reality. I remember Pastor Sue's message when she was talking about Pastor Cho, and he was like, he had to become pregnant with it. It started with a vision. It started with a thought, and he had to see it in his mind's eye. And even though it had not manifested yet, he began to speak those things that were not as though they already were, even to the point where his congregation, he was afraid, might think that he was a liar. But he was actually just saying, I'm pregnant with this vision, and I'm just waiting for God to come through. So those are two things that I think are really important. Just digging up your seed, you know, speak in faith what you believe in and stand on a verse. You know, you can't just believe for something. Anytime somebody says, you know, believe with me this or pray with me this, I'm like, okay, what verse are we standing on? What's your verse? If you don't have a verse, you're not really standing on the Word of God, right? If you can't find a verse for what you're believing for, you're not standing on the Word of God. When it says having done all to stand, it means stand on His Word, His promises that don't fail, right? So find the verse, and then where two or more touch and agree, it shall be done. You're standing on that verse together. You know, a lot of people come up for prayer, and they're just like, just pray for me. And I'm like, well, what are we believing for? You have to speak it, like Pastor Sue was saying, specifically. What do you want me to agree in prayer with you for? What verse are we standing on? I got you. You know, not just like, just pray. The world's horrible, and I'm just really suffering. No, what? Where's your verse? Is it the finances? Is it your marriage? And what verse are you standing on for these things? And don't and begin to speak it as though it were. Don't dig up your seed and forget.
So good. I have a verse for that. And it's something I've been standing on the past few weeks, and I know some other people in my world have. Hebrews 10:36, and it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And sometimes that promise doesn't come right away. So then what do you do in that promise? So Pastor Deborah preached on patient faith, right? And Pastor Deborah, would you want to come up and just give us a little bit of that, like, I know, she's been sick and she's been flying around the world trying to get here. But patient faith is not always easy faith. Sometimes when we don't see things for years or even decades and we wonder, I'll never forget this story. I was telling the girls the other day this story and I didn't look it up. Did you guys happen to look it up? Okay, there's the revolutionist lady in the European times. Mom, you would probably know this woman. She fought for women's rights in Europe. And anyway, she was a woman that fought and fought and fought. And about a week before they actually, you know, let women vote and have a place in society, she died. And I remember somebody read a quote from her, and the quote went like this: "I will fight this cause, I will stand in faith, and I will stick to what I know I've been asked to do. Whether I'm here to see it or not, I hope that others will receive from it." And I just thought, that's faith. Because whether I'm here on this earth to see it be carried out, that's not my spot. My spot is to be doing what God asked me to do. If God's telling me to pray for salvation for a family member, and if I see it this side of heaven or not, I might be in the great cloud of witnesses watching it happen, right? But it was my prayers that were birthing these things supernaturally into our realm. So do not get weary in your well-doing, in your service, in not understanding, thinking that those things are going to come right away. I remember my sister Kim. She was not serving God for a long time. And I remember my parents just every morning up, every single morning, my mom praying they will come back from their borders and praying all these things over us. And I heard my mom screaming at the devil every day. And I remember going out and going, "Don't pray for her. She doesn't want to be a part of us." And I was mad as a little kid. You know, no, Kim is like one of my best friends now. I love her to death. But as you can see, Kim is here serving God and is blessed, and I believe it's because my parents' prayers. So I just met with an incredible woman yesterday, and I sat there and I listened to her life, and I thought, oh my goodness, every person in her life is so blessed and have been rescued from hell time and time again, all because this woman prays. Listen, do not get weary in your prayer time, in your faith journey. You may not see the outcome right away, but God is bigger than your issue. He's bigger than the sickness. He's bigger than the salvation issue. He's bigger than your kids' sin issue. He can come through, and you stand in faith and win all endurance. With all endurance, stand faith, perseverance, just keep going, keep checking along, and listen, you're gonna have bad days. And that's when you can rest and lean on God and say, I'm having a bad day. I don't feel like I'm full of faith today. And maybe you can call up a friend. Maybe you could talk to your mom. Maybe you could talk to one of us as the pastors, and we can encourage you to say, it's okay, but keep going. Keep going, because this endurance, this race is worth it. This is an awesome race, and God has already won the victory in this. And maybe you just need to hear it. Maybe you just need to hear, I know how you feel. I've been there. And when I've been there, I kept everything I could do to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. When I didn't even feel like it, I still got up and I prayed. When I didn't feel like it, I still got into my word. When I didn't feel like it, I still believed God. Because it's not about what we feel, ladies. It's about what God is asking us to do. He's requiring of us to step out in faith and to do what his will demands of us. And that's to speak the word over our lives. Speak the word over the situations that we're faced with. Find out what the word of God says, because there's an answer for all of it in here. And nothing is too big for him. Sometimes we talked about this longevity, and we talked about inner vows. So Joanna, you might really be able to give a piece of this, but sometimes we make inner vows with ourselves. Like, I will never do that, or I will never be that way, or I will never do this. Sometimes I think it gets in the way of what we're believing for faith. It almost counteracts what we're believing God for. Because you're saying opposite of what you're believing for. But yet, we got to get those inner vows out of the way and just be open vessels for what God needs to use us for. And he wants to pour out some new ways of thinking in our lives. And maybe you're not going to be like your mother or your father or your auntie or your uncle or whatever. But make sure that you're not cutting out just the good with the bad. You know, people can do bad things, but maybe they have some goodness inside of them that we can pull from, and we can say, oh, actually, they really were great in this area. And you see, let's not judge each other to death. Let's enjoy each other. Let's stand in faith. Let's not let those inner vows stop us from moving forward because, oh, well, I said I'd never do that, so I'm not going to. Well, maybe God's asking you to go around that and move on. Maybe God's asking you to walk in forgiveness, and you think, oh, no, I'm forgiving. But then every time you're around them, you're like, ugh. You're not forgiving. Yeah, come on up. You know, so like, those are red flags, ladies. If you can't be in the same room with the person, you have an issue. You need to go to the throne room and talk to God about it and lay it on the altar, okay? Hi, Mom. She finally came up. I was just waiting to see how long it's going to take.
No, you're preaching, honey. You're doing a great job. Just, God, I love you. This is awesome. But I just, when I did the one message on faith that Jess had asked me to do, oh, gosh, it was random and I went on and on. But there were three things that I wanted to share. And it was faith needs permission, faith needs practice, and faith needs patience. Those three things. Permission is the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. So when you hear God's word, there's a supernatural connection with your spiritual ear. Your heart is what is the soil. The seed is God's promise. And just like a seed in a, like an acorn, an oak tree, an acorn seed has an oak tree in it, right? And all you have to do is take that acorn seed and you put it in the dirt and you water it. And that acorn seed is already programmed to become an oak tree, right? It's the same with God's word. Jesus said that the word is the seed in Mark chapter 4. God's promise is already programmed to bring itself to pass. But it has to be planted in a heart of faith. And it's the heart that faith comes out of. And so Satan's after our hearts. That's why it says don't be weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart, because your heart is your soil. And it's never anything wrong with the seed. God's word will bring itself to pass. It's impossible for it to fail. It's always a challenge with the soil. And it's where the enemy works on us. And so my heart is my soil. Does that make sense? So when you hear the word and you're believing God, or you're in a situation that you want changed, and you hear God's promise on that situation, faith comes and hope comes, and you think, oh, I don't have to be that way. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to finish my life out like this. There's a promise that God says it can change. I don't have to be single. I don't have to be broke. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be yada, yada, yada. Whatever it is in your life, because there's a scenario of situations in here. And so that's where the seed of the word, permission, comes into a heart, and it interacts with the soil, and faith comes. So when you get the permission, now you've got the walk of faith, the journey, because there's no favorable circumstances on that path of faith. you are going to be in a war. Because the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to dissuade you, discourage you, and stop what you are believing God for. Because you are hooked up with him, and you are calling the kingdom of God and the will of God into the earth through your life. You're his body. So you succeed, Satan fails.
Yeah.
This is a war. There's two kingdoms at work, darkness and light. God and Satan, and he is after our defeat. And women are either God's secret weapon or they're the devil's advocate. And I believe that God has us on this planet for very special assignments, and we're his secret weapon. But we got to walk in faith. It needs practice, which means that's the walk. And I say it's between the amen and the hallelujah. You say, yes, God, faith has come. I'm going to believe you for this, and I'm praying for it. Now I've got to walk it out until the hallelujah, which means it's manifest. I don't have to believe anymore. It's in my life. But between the amen and the hallelujah is where you've got to practice your faith. And that's what they're all teaching you. Speaking. It's all of these things. And then patience. Because the real walk of faith, through faith and patience. Whether you see it or not, you're not going to let go of that thing. You are like a bulldog with a piece of meat. You have been bred with a jaw a certain way. You clamp down and come devil or high water. You are not releasing that promise. Whether you see it earth side or heaven side, it just doesn't matter, because eternity is eternity. Whether my kids serve God this side of heaven or I'm in heaven, they will serve God. I will see them in heaven. I will see this manifest in my life. I will see what God has said, because the last verses of Hebrews chapter 11 is about those that were not worthy of this world, and they believed God and they died in faith. So the real faith, to me, real faith is when you don't let go. You don't stop. There's no favorite things. There's no good things happening. But you are doing what you're training as a warrior princess calls you to do. You are geared up for battle. You may be an old warrior, but you are still on the planet. There's still life in you. There is breath coming out of your soul. And you can still decree the word of the Lord. And you're not letting go. Now that's a woman of faith. Now, here's what I want to say. Two things. You only have to do this every day. One day at a time. You don't have to look at tomorrow. You only have to look at today. God didn't ask me to walk in faith, and I have to look at the walk of faith through eternity, up to eternity. He said, you take one day at a time. Why do you worry about today? Why do you worry? Worry is to fear. What? Faith, hope is to faith. Yeah. Worry is a picture. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Worry and fear go together like hope and faith. Hope paints the picture because you've got invisible eyes. And if you can see it on the inside, you can have it on the outside. God's given you the gift of imagination. You're made in his image. You already see words on the inside of you. It's the same thing with God's promise. He drops it in your spirit. Your spirit sees it. Now you've got the visual. Now you begin to believe it until you see it in the physical. Because the spirit realm is as real as this physical, more real. You just can't see it with your physical eyes. It's a different realm, but it's real. So you only have to do this one day at a time. So I would say to you, one day at a time. Don't borrow tomorrow. You stay in faith today.
Good.
Just stay in faith today is all he's asking. Okay? And just take it one day at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I don't know where that came from, because none of us has ever eaten one. But it's a good visual. The second thing is, whose report are you going to believe? Because in Caleb and Joshua in the Old Testament, when they were about to take that promised land, and there were giants in the land, and they saw those giants, their perspective was not what the 10 princes of Israel saw. And they said, we are grasshoppers in our own sight. Their perspective, you don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. What's my perspective? I look from the inside out. We're raised a certain way, we're a certain color, we're gender. That is our perspective. Now we are being transformed and we are God's
daughters, and the perspective must be that Jesus Christ is the giant. He's God in the flesh. All things were made by him and for him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And Pastor Sue said, we've got to know who we are in Christ. Absolutely right. But until I can know who I am in Christ, I have to know who Christ is. And he is all God, and he is all man. He is the eternal God. He's the Word made flesh. He made everything. Everything exists by him. He holds all things together by the word of his power. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the head of the church, and I am his daughter. Who is he? He is Jesus. It's in his name that Satan has to bow his knee. Not in my name, but in his name. And I bear his name as his royal daughter. I know I'm an old crazy woman. I've lost my mind and I've taken on his. Listen, whose report are you going to believe? Caleb and Joshua believed what God said about them, and those giants were breakfast. You've got a report? You got a report? Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe what God has told you and promised you and is in your soil? Or are you going to believe the word of this world that has no idea who God is and what this world is all about? They are clueless. They're good people. They're not trying to hurt us. I was just with my family. They have no clue who I am. They're not saved. Listen, you are ruined for the ordinary. You're ruined for it. You're ruined for it. You were made to walk with deity. You are given the privilege of the kingdom. And you are daughters of God. Whose report are you going to believe? Take it one day at a time and believe God.
Man. And drop the mic.
What do you say after that?
I would drop the mic, but I think our sound department would be mad. I need like a white hanky. Come on, lady. All right. I think she's been cooped up a little too long. Okay. Hi, you're back. So anyways, I think we could probably end on that note, but... No, would you stop it? Don't say sorry. We all needed that. That's a perfect ending. Do I have the brick wall? All of you have, over the weeks, been putting things on this brick wall. Things that you were believing God for. People, situations. I do believe it's probably thicker. You're probably going, man, I should put something on that wall. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray over this brick wall. And we're going to just pray for a miracle in these situations. You guys know what this represents for you. We talked about having a brick faith versus a kite faith. Kite faith up and down. Yeah, when I really, really need it, I'm good. And then, you know, then I kind of just forget about it. And then I'm good. And then, oh yeah, God, oh yeah. Or we can have our brick faith, where we can build upon our faith a brick wall that can't be shaken, that can't be torn down, that when the enemy comes, he's not going to be able to break through, and we will live that kind of a life. And so, girls, you are women with brick faith. And I believe that God has been putting something inside of you for this whole entire month and a half. And we've been talking about faith. And I wanted to get into the identity series first, and the Lord told me, no, do faith first. And then the identity. Because you have to have faith to understand your identity. Because it'll be supernatural. It's not a natural thing. It's not physical. What he's going to teach us about us and him is very supernatural. So we have to have a faith for that. Okay? So come back and come to the identity series. It's going to be amazing. But let's pray over this. So can I have everyone stand up and reach out your hands? Well, Lord, we just come before you as they're putting these out. And let's lay our hands. Anybody that can come touch this, let's touch it.
Lord, we stand in the gap right now for every child, every marriage, every sickness, every lie from the pit of hell that has been coming against these families. And right now, we break the assignments that the devil has so placed, the division that has torn apart, those things that look like they can never be restored. God, we ask for restoration. We ask for healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are going to come through. We link our faith together. God, your word says that when two or more are gathered, that you are in the midst and that shall be done. So, Lord, we call every child that is not serving you that is represented here. Lord, we call them back into the kingdom of God. And, Lord, we pray that they're miserable in their sin. And, Lord, that they would have a revelation of your goodness and of your love and of your mercy and of your grace. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that children will live and not die. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus for healing upon marriages. Those that seem broken and obsolete and they don't know where to go or what to do, God, we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that what the devil has been breaking apart, that God, you would unite back in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we pray for healing. We speak to cancer right now. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to babies that are not healthy in the wombs of women. Lord, I ask that those babies would come out healthy and strong. And Lord, that what the devil is speaking over them, Lord, we speak health and strength. And Lord, that I just get in the spirit, Lord, that there's a heartbeat, God, that will be healthy and this child will live and not die. Lord, I pray for purpose to be upon every woman in this room. Lord, I pray that she would find her place in your kingdom. That, Lord, she would have a new boldness come upon her today, God. That there would be a new confidence in who you are and who we are in you. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus over finances, God. We pray for jobs and better jobs, God. Lord, we ask, God, that those finances that have been, the devourer has been taking and taking and taking long enough, and we command right now in the name of Jesus, devourer off of the finances of the women represented in this room. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless them, that you'd open doors that only you can open, that you would nurture and that you would mold, that you would guide and that you would show ways of making money. God, that favor would pour upon us, God. I pray for the favor of God to be on their jobs, Lord, that they would have a blessing upon blessing upon blessing, God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for the mind of Christ for those that are in school. And God, it seems hard and they don't know if they can go on. But God, we ask for the mind of Christ, Lord, that you would give them wisdom beyond their years. That, Lord, that you would speak through them and in them and around them, and that they would be a bold Christian in an educated world that wants to tell them God is not real. Lord, we thank you, God, for every person represented here, that what the devil meant for bad, God, you meant it for good. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We release our faith. So be it. It is done in the spirit realm. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.